Thank you for joining us for this episode today on The Sword and the Trowel. Today, Tom and I talk about the recent election and all the victories that we won and the reasons that we are celebrating now after these many victories. So take a listen. Welcome to The Sword and the Trowel. The Sword and the Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Graham Gundon.
I'm Tom Askell.
And today's episode is brought to you by the Miller's Grove Soap Company, Squirrely Joe's Coffee, and Abby's Elderberry Syrup as well.
Yeah, these are three great products that we have here and sampled and used, and we are grateful for their production and grateful for their sponsorship.
I just put Squirrely Joe's Coffee in my veins every day, every day.
Very good.
Well, today we want to talk about the reasons that we have to celebrate, given what has happened in this nation over the past week or so, with the victory of Donald Trump and other political victories that have happened since then as well. And there are many reasons to celebrate. Tom, what are some of your first reasons that you would go to?
Yeah, well, I think at the top of the list would be that God has spared us an administration of what I am fully convinced is the most wicked, incompetent presidential candidate that we have had in the history of the United States. And I know I've already made a lot of people mad by saying that.
Because tell us how you really feel, Tom.
Because I've been saying it for many, many months now, since she's been the candidate. And again, it's no personal disparagement of her. It's just when I look at the facts of her life, her policies, her own words of what she celebrates, what she would denigrate, God has spared us of that. So that's first and foremost. But also then in Florida, where we saw two ballots two things on the ballots to change our Constitution. One was on marijuana. And, you know, I know that's an open debate among libertarians and others. But the way that the amendment proposal was written, it would have given carte blanche to one major marijuana company or conglomerate based out of Canada that would have given them immunity so that they would not be held liable for any problems that came up from the products, from production to distribution and use. They would have been given, you know, liability, immunity to any liability. And Governor DeSantis made us aware of that when he came and addressed it in a press conference here in our church. But then secondly, and most importantly, is the one on abortion, where they were trying to make abortion completely legal and even paving a pathway for tax-funded abortion from the moment of conception to the moment of delivery. And that both of those proposals were beaten back. I've tried to calculate just what I've seen in terms of the estimation of amount of dollars that were spent to get those changes to our Constitution. It's about $250 million. Those were outside interests. Those were not Floridians. They were coming in trying to change our Constitution for the worse, and God gave us the victory over them. However, in the Florida law, you have to have a 60% vote of the populace to change the Constitution. They didn't reach that threshold, but they were well over half, which is sad to me. And it's a reminder, okay, let's celebrate, but we can't quit. We can't coast. We got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And there are other reasons to celebrate as well, which we'll get into. One of the problems I think in our discourse right now is, you know, the very fact of a Christian celebrating any sort of political victory for many is problematic. That, you know, Christians are being partisan, you know, political things don't really affect the kingdom of God in any particular way. There's no spiritual reality here, and so we shouldn't be all that concerned. We shouldn't be celebrating. We should really just at best be ambivalent towards what's going on here. How would you respond to people who think that way?
I would direct people to Exodus 15, where we have the wonderful song celebrating the destruction of Pharaoh and his armies. You know, that Israel sang about the destruction of their enemies. And I know this is hard. We're to love our enemies. And can you love your enemies and also rejoice when they're destroyed? I think so. I think we have to be able to do that. Does God love his enemies? We're told to hate those whom he hates. But I think that we have to understand in God, and help me with this. This is a thought that I haven't spent a lot of time on recently. I did when I was early in my pastorate, to say that God's love is not mutually exclusive with his hatred. That there's within God the capacity to love with such a righteous love that it inevitably results in hatred.
Yeah. You know, you asked me a question, you know I'm going to bring up Dante. in the inscription above the gates of hell in the Inferno, I mean, Dante says, divine love moved my creator. You know, it's love that moved God to create hell. And I think that God's wrath and even God's hatred really is kind of a subset of his love, that it comes from his love. Those mm-hmm. who would hate him and hate his son and hate his people and mistreat his son and mistreat his people and reject him because he loves himself so much, as he should, because he loves his son so much, because he loves his people so much, those who do harm to them and those who rebel against him, his wrath and his anger and even his hatred comes out upon them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think hatred is, it comes from love.
Yeah, and the treatment of those in that category who are the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people, the enemies of God's son, the treatment of those by God is not divorced from love.
Mm.
He's loving to the degree that he keeps them from carrying out exactly what
right.
they would do or could do.
Right.
And so in that, I mean, there's a lot more to that, but it does play into the way I've tried to talk to people around here who, you know, say, how should we feel about those that are just devastated? And of course, if you've been on the internet at all, you've seen people, women shaving their heads and people weeping, late night hosts, you know, crying mm-hmm. because Donald Trump got elected. And should we not be sympathetic or even empathetic toward them? And, you know, we shouldn't celebrate because look at them. Well, we're doing, but the fact that God kept us from Kamala Harris, that's a blessing to them. They don't know it. They don't believe it.
Right.
They hate it, but it's like a child who has to get a shot because he's sick. You know, he may not like it. He may scream and complain about it, but it's doing good
mm-hmm.
for him. And that's the way I think we should see this too. We've got to align our understanding of what's right and good and true with what God says. And when people say, but if you do that, you're literally killing me. You know, I can't believe this. I'm going to be destroyed. I'm scared to go out of my house anymore because of who's going to be president. It's, well, you know, I feel sorry for your derangement syndrome or whatever it is that's driving that. But this is really good for you.
Looking for a natural way to boost your family's health? Discover the benefit of elderberry while supporting a Christian family-owned business at Abby's Elderberry. They produce high-quality products by crafting each one without the use of artificial ingredients or preservatives. Just pure, delicious elderberry goodness. Whether you're looking for syrups, a variety of loose-leaf teas, or even a DIY kit complete with everything you need to make your own syrup, owners Brad and Starla Walker have it for you at Abby's Elderberry. Visit them at abbyselderberry.com today to experience all the goodness of elderberry without the junk. And for listeners of The Sword and the Trowel, use promo code FOUNDERS at checkout to save 15% off your total order.
For more than 40 years, Founders Ministries has existed to work for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. We began in a small prayer meeting with just 7 men right outside Dallas, Texas, in trying to think through and pray about what God would have us do with what we were seeing as a very small but important revival of the doctrines of grace among Baptists. Well, from that initial prayer meeting, we had a conference, and for several years, that's all that Founders Ministries did, is we hosted annual conferences. But over the next couple of years, it became very apparent to us that more could be done, more should be done. So we started a theological journal. We began to publish books. We began to establish fraternals among pastors. We began to have regional conferences and trying to resource churches and church leaders for this ongoing work. And God has blessed those efforts. He's prospered this work. We've produced documentaries like By What Standard? And now through Founders Press, we have over 100 books that we published. None of this would have been possible had God not raised up men and women in churches who wanted to partner with us by financially supporting this work. We are a donor-based ministry, and we could not do what we've done, and we couldn't do what we're currently doing without the partnership of men and women in churches who believe in this vision and ministry of Founders. We have the online study center that we've just relaunched. We've got the Institute of Public Theology that just graduated our first students, preparing them for gospel ministry. And we have even bigger plans on the books that we hope early next year God will enable us to bring to fruition. Well, we've got a great opportunity in front of us I want to make you aware of. Through the sacrificial giving of several donors, we have a $130,000 matching gift that is waiting to be given to founders through the end of the year. What this means is our donors have said we will match every dollar that is given between now and December 31st up to $130,000. If the Lord has blessed you through Founders and you've thought about giving, or if you're willing to pray about giving to support this ministry, let me encourage you to do it now, because if the Lord enables us to see more supporters come on board and $130,000 being given, that will mean $260,000 to go to the work of Founders to get us on firm footing for where we believe the Lord is leading us in the future. Would you pray about this? And if you know others that might be interested in supporting this ministry and God has blessed them, prospered them financially, if you would talk to them about Founders or put them in touch with us, we would love to have conversations with them, because we believe God is doing something significant. We want to be a part of it. He has positioned us in ways that we could never have anticipated 42 years ago. But by His grace, our determination is to steward well what He is doing. You can go to founders.org/give and get more information and even give online through that mechanism. If you'd like to talk to me or any of our staff about this, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you for prayerfully considering becoming a partner with Founders Ministries.
The biggest thing for me, as I think about what's happened, particularly with Amendment 4, but even with Trump's victory, is I see it as a sign. It is a sign from God of His mercy.
Yeah.
We have not deserved this. We did, you know, the state of Florida did not deserve to knock down Amendment 4, especially right. given the fact that 57% of yeah. the populace voted in favor of it. But God, for whatever reason, has decided that He's going to give us more mercy. Because if we had passed that law, if we had made that a part of our Constitution, that in and of itself would have been God's judgment.
That's right.
The indiscriminate murder of our children in and of itself would have been God's judgment. And I know that it still happens in the state of Florida.
Right.
And, you know, we have a 6-week ban, and we need to keep pushing forward to criminalize that and to criminalize and prosecute anyone who takes any sort of hand in any abortion. We need that. But the fact that we were able to knock down Amendment 4 was God's grace and His kindness and His mercy, which just is a sign to me that He's not done yet yeah. with the state of Florida. And
right.
and He's given us more opportunity to keep moving forward and to keep producing fruit and keeping with our repentance. And I see Trump's victory this way as well. God has been merciful to us in Trump winning the presidency, because Trump winning the presidency has resulted in us not bringing into power a vicious, wicked, deceptive, tyrannical administration in the Kamala Harris right. administration. That would have been God's judgment. Kamala Harris, in and of herself, and all the people she would have brought into power, would have been God's judgment upon this nation. And we absolutely deserve that judgment.
Absolutely.
But God has, for whatever reason, in His kindness, determined that, no, I'm going to give them 4 more years. And I'm not saying Trump's going to be perfect, or he's not going to make mistakes, or he doesn't say everything I want him to say. He doesn't do everything I want him to do. He's not a completely just man. Even so, like, him entering into the Oval Office is an act of God's mercy upon us, which means, you know, do we still have a chance? You know,
yeah.
Is God giving us opportunity to recover what we once were?
Yeah, amen. Amen. And we have for several years, or at least the last couple of years, 2+ years, we've taken the first Wednesday of the month as a day of prayer and fasting for Reformation Revival. And those have been sweet times of prayer when we come together that evening as a church. But we call upon the whole church to spend the day in prayer and fasting for Reformation Revival. And so that Wednesday after the election was the first Wednesday of the month. But through some of our people making the suggestion to the elders agreeing quickly with that suggestion, we turned it into a day of Thanksgiving and celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Wednesday night, rather than confessing our sins and pleading with God for Reformation Revival, we thanked God for exactly what you have expressed. And, you know, we are told to do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are told to offer up prayers and supplications, intercessions with thanksgiving for all people, especially for kings and those in authority in high places. And we are to do it so that we might live quiet and dignified lives with godliness and peace. So, okay, what does that mean? Well, that means that we ought to desire having civil magistrates that will rule and lead in such a way that will provide for us to be able to live quiet, godly, peaceful, dignified lives. That would not be the case if an administration in at any level of government is saying that it's a right to be able to trans kids, to have drag queen story hour, to mutilate bodies because of this gender dysphoria.
Then make us pay for it.
And yeah, and make us pay for it. That is contrary to the very thing we're to pray for. Mm-hmm. And if God has kept us from that to a degree, not perfectly, but to a degree, we certainly should obey what 1 Timothy 2 says and offer up thanksgiving to him for it. This plays into what you and I've talked about before and our elders talk about pretty regularly, is if we're to pray for these things, if the scripture tells us to pray for these things, should we not also work for these things?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shouldn't it be a part of our sense of stewardship being placed in a constitutional republic where we have the great freedoms and opportunities that we do, to work for those things that we pray for,
mm-hmm.
that would be magistrates that would do more of this than the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's what we've done. And nobody's looking at President-elect Trump as a savior. I mean, around here, there are some that might be. But looking at the aftermath, I went to bed, by the way, about 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know,
weak.
Tuesday night. You didn't.
Weak.
All right, but you stayed up, right?
Yeah.
Till the
up.
Wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, I was up till 2:30. So it was clear at that point, by the time I went to bed, that he was the winner, but he had not yet spoken.
Yeah, well, I woke up at 3:30 and checked, and sure enough, you know, things were hopeful there. But to recognize what was going on after he spoke, the people broke out in singing praise to God.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have happened had the Democrat nominee won the election.
No. In fact, you go to the Democrat nominee's rallies, you say Christ is King. She says you're at the wrong rally.
Exactly. So this
But that praise doesn't count because those are MAGA supporters. And you know, their theology is not great. So that doesn't count.
Yeah. So you know, in all of these ways, we ought to try to think about this. And I've had private conversations with several of our members, including even, you know, last night after our worship service, we're recording this on Monday, and they're trying to think through. You know, they don't want to be too joyful because they're concerned about other people, and they don't want to rub it in their faces like, you know, we just won a football game and we're going to now.
I'm not too concerned about
that. I know you're not. These are more wizened, experienced members, you know. But no, they're people that have been raised in my generation where, you know, we have been intimidated to not be this way. And, you know, we shouldn't. The scripture says don't rejoice when your enemy falls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's true, but it also gives us the Song of Moses when Pharaoh fell. So in talking to them, they were just trying to sort out, you know, okay, you know, how do we respond? And the things that you and I are talking about now, it's what I was trying to communicate is, look, this is right for us to feel this way, and it's right for us to thank God, but it's not right for us to sit back and say, ah, look at all the blessings, man, we're the people, we're it, you know, we're on a good road. No, it's Romans 2, was it verse 4, verse 5, that don't you know that the goodness of God is to lead you to repentance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God's been good to us. We need to repent.
Yep.
That's the call. And I'm grateful to see some of that happening. I've seen some wild liberals say, you know, we're having to rethink this. Is it true that over half of our population are Nazis and fascists? You know, can that really be true? Well, that's what they've been told by the mainstream media. But there's one guy, Kenton Little, I don't know him, but on social media, he put this up. He said, I didn't vote for Trump because of his rhetoric regarding abortion. I believed it would be sinful for me to violate my conscience and vote for him. I did not see the big picture. I think that's a key point.
Mm.
I was wrong. I should have voted for Trump. Praise God for his mercy and pray for this nation. Now, I think that's a right response for somebody who was, you know, maybe confused or a little bit foggy. And when he was asked later, you know, what changed your mind in 2 days? You go from not voting for Trump as a matter of principle to celebrating and thanking God that he was elected. Here's what he said. Here's what changed my mind. One, demons everywhere are weeping and gnashing their teeth, and that's a great thing to see. Now, this is a man who has been delivered from a purely materialistic world in which we live. He recognizes that demons are real. Demons influence people. Two, few people have done as much to abolish abortion as Dusty Devers, and he has so many more opportunities to do good work than he would have had if Kamala had won, and I was ignorant to that before. And that's a key point, too. This is what we were saying. With this administration, there are going to be greater opportunities for us to live quiet, peaceful lives with godliness in a dignified way than there would have been otherwise. And praise God for that.
Yeah, you know, there's another big thing that's coming out of this is just the unstoppable weight of God's providence pushing Donald Trump into the White House. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is the Messiah who's going to save us all or anything like that, but it's obviously it's undeniable that God in his providence has put the man there. And you look at what has taken place in the past, you know, 2 years of this election cycle. I mean, the man has been prosecuted. He's been convicted. He's been indicted. He's been imprisoned. He's been shot at almost twice, almost assassinated twice. I mean, grazed his ear. It was almost shot in the head.
Yeah, and how do you miss that shot?
Yeah.
I mean, if you shoot much, that's not a hard shot to make.
Yeah, with an AR-15. And then, you know, the civil suits against him, trying to bankrupt him, the news media against him, all the cultural institutions against him, yet somehow the man still ends up winning, and he's going to be the 47th president of the United States. People cannot deny that there is something divine that is taking place here. There's something, the only reason that this man is going to enter into the White House is because God has done something. Yeah. The complete pagans are recognizing there's, that Trump himself is talking about the fact that I'm only here because God has placed me here. And that gives the church such great opportunity. People are thinking about spiritual things. People are thinking about God and what God is doing in this world. And that gives us opportunity then, now that they're already primed to hear about this stuff, now that they're already willing to think and believe this stuff, for us to actually be able to preach the gospel to them and for them to be able to receive it. The soil has been tilled. Seeds need to be planted. And so the church has wonderful opportunity in this moment. I mean, you sent me the video of Kid Rock trying to evangelize Joe Rogan on his podcast. It's the craziest thing ever. And this would not have happened had God not done this providentially. And I don't know Kid Rock's spiritual state. I don't really know anything about him except that he's a Trump supporter and that he's trying to evangelize Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, I mean, it's like we have the opportunity. The megaphone is there. We just need to speak the gospel through it in our society. So I'm grateful for that opportunity, and I'm suspicious. I wonder if that's the reason why the Lord has been so merciful. I mean, because the Lord has been merciful for a purpose.
Yeah, amen, amen.
And we need to take advantage of the opportunities that mercy affords us.
You know, there's two things that you bring up here. One, God's providence, and we would have to say the same thing, that God providentially worked had Kamala Harris been elected president, because God is ruling and reigning his world in meticulous providential detail. So we believe that. But we would have said it in a way that this is further judgment. This is what God has been doing, giving us over to our lusts and our desires that are contrary to him, but it's still providentially ordered. And the fact that, okay, God has been merciful to us and is providing to us a real opportunity. You know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not being able to discern the times. You know, they couldn't understand the times. And the sons of Issachar are commended as men who understood the times, knew what Israel ought to do. I believe for Christians, this is an opportune moment because there is the unveiling of what's been there for a long time of a lot of people who are not buying into the radical, progressive, liberal agendas. And they've just been quiet, keeping their heads down, doing their work. And now then they've risen up and they've spoken at the ballot box, and it's like, oh, they exist. Well, yeah, they do exist, and they're saying things, you know, like, praise God from whom all blessings flow, and we thank God for this, and we believe that God has raised Trump up. I mean, you've got Elon Musk talking about God. You got Jordan Peterson talking about God. They're not evangelists. To my knowledge, they're not Christians at all, but they're talking about God, and there's a whole generation, especially of young men. I want to underscore that point. Of young men who are have a God consciousness that we now are becoming aware of that we weren't maybe as aware of before. And it's like, I look at that and the fields are white for harvest. Mm-hmm. We need to take into this Christless conservatism, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and say, yes, you know, yeah. what you're seeing, you're seeing some things, but there's more. And the God that you have a sense about is the God and Father of Jesus Christ. He sent Christ into this world to die for sinners like you. You are a sinner against God. You're in rebellion. You need to be reconciled to God. And apart from his grace, that'll never happen. But the good news is he has had grace and mm-hmm. he sent his son. And in Christ, you can be forgiven. You can be reconciled. You can have new life. And mm-hmm. all of these kinds of sentiments that have you've been hitting on here and there and not been able to make complete sense of, they will come into clarity. They'll come into focus with your submission to Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the opportunity I think mm-hmm. we have right now. I'm as excited about where we are right now as a culture, not because everything's just right, but because it seems like there is tremendous open doors for us to walk through in proclaiming the gospel. And man, I mean, we need revival still. Mm-hmm. Could this be mm-hmm. God's way of just plowing the ground further? We, others, have been praying for revival. We're going to have this conference mm-hmm. January 23rd through 25.
Right after Inauguration Day.
Yeah, a couple of days after the inauguration, right here in Southwest Florida, Founders Conference. If you're not signed up for that, I encourage you to come. It's going to be an amazing time together as we pray for, mm-hmm. we preach about, think about, and plead with God mm-hmm. to come revive us. I mean, he can do it in a day. Mm-hmm. He can do it with us, without us. But for whatever reason, he's been stirring us up to pray for this, to work for this. And it just seems like on this more global scale now that there are opportunities to speak about and to evangelize people that maybe have been largely forgotten mm-hmm. over the last 20 years.
We're excited to highlight one of our new titles from Founders Press, As the Darkness Clears Away, by our very own Dr. Tom Askell. This book is meant to be used as a daily devotional guide throughout the Christmas season, so it contains 25 daily devotions that focus on one passage of Scripture, and that passage is considered verse by verse and ends with helpful questions to help to apply the passage. Tom's decades of preaching and meditation on the truths of the Incarnation are evident in As the Darkness Clears Away. If you're looking for a heavy dose of biblical Christology, accompanied by the practical insights of a seasoned pastor, this Advent devotional will be a great encouragement to you. I encourage you to order this book today so that you will have it in time for your personal or family devotions in the month of December. You can order by visiting our store at press.founders.org.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's what the Bible tells us, and you can do so now with Miller's Grove soap. Miller's Grove is taking dominion over God's good earth by putting grass-fed beef tallow, milk, honey, and essential oils, along with other gifts from creation, into their luxurious soap and bath products. Miller's Grove is done right here in Cape Coral. It's by one of our elders and his wife and family. They unashamedly fear the Lord and seek to build his kingdom as they are building this business. They never use junk like harmful seed oils or synthetic detergents or fragrance oils containing phthalates or parabens. Listeners of the Sword and Trowel have an opportunity to get a special discount by using Founders at the checkout for a 10% off of your first purchase. So remember, life is short, fear God, build his kingdom, and use the good soap, which is Miller's Grove soap.
As we think about the victories that we've experienced over the past week, they're not going to mean a lot without revival. Right. They're not nothing by any means, but we're not done yet. We've not achieved full final victory by any means on a cultural, social level, let alone just a spiritual level. And it's not going to be accomplished apart from revival. And revival cannot be accomplished without God. Only God can bring revival. We can't conjure it up. We can't do anything like that. So we need to pray that God would bring revival. But we can still be shrewd. We can still be wise. We can still labor to see revival take place. And the Lord uses that shrewdness. He uses that wisdom. He uses that labor in order to bring about revival. And one of the things that I'm so encouraged about is that, you know, though, you know, we're Reformed, 1689 Baptists, it's a pretty small sliver of the evangelical Protestant pie. But, you know, in the in the America First MAGA movement, people that are really close to like what's going on there in Trump world, there's so many Christians there. Mm-hmm. They may not be exactly the type of Christians that we are, but they are real brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
And they have real opportunity to influence the way that this party that's in ascendancy now can go. And so we need to be praying for them, pray that the Lord would strengthen them, that the Lord would give them the opportunity. And then where we are, we need to take opportunity as well. I told this to you earlier. I'm just likening this moment to kind of like a Stalingrad moment. You know, the Nazis have been pushing in for, you know, a long time, and we've taken heavy casualties. You know, 57% of the population of Florida has voted to keep abortion in our Constitution, unfettered abortion, and it failed. But it failed. It's like it's the end. Yeah. It's the end of the German push, and now it's our turn to push back and to push all the way to Berlin. And we need to strategize. How are we going to do that? How are we going to take advantage of these opportunities? It's not enough to just say, "Man, I really hope this happens." But mm-hmm. we need to be thinking about how it is that we as churches, we as Christians, we as pastors, we as Christian organizations, as educational institutions, whatever your role is, how are we going to take advantage of this opportunity and push back against the abortion death industry, push back against the homosexual transgender movement, push back against radical liberalism and leftism, and most importantly, get a megaphone and preach the gospel to these people.
Amen. Yeah, several wonderful points there. In thinking through how I would vote in this recent election, one of the things that kept coming to my mind is personnel is policy. Mm-hmm. Personnel is policy. And by God's grace and his providence over the last several years, I've gotten to know people who will be in the administration with Trump. They are evangelical Christians. Mm-hmm. Some of them are 1689 evangelical Christians. Praise God for that. You know, I want Christians in there. I don't know anybody who would have served in Kamala's administration who was a Christian. I mean, not even the evangelicals for Harris. I mean, I got real questions about all that. But so I'm hopeful, and you're right. We need to pray. Mm-hmm. We need to pray that those who know Christ will serve Christ well in this new administration and shine the light of the gospel. I mean, Paul was able to go to Caesar's household and make the gospel known. So pray for those who, like Paul, have access now to some of these influencers of national and global policy. I mean, there's so much that's going to, so much potential there. The other thing I want to kind of double click on is as pastors, how are we to think about it as pastors? I've had lots of conversations with pastors over the last year, especially, who are concerned, and again, about some younger men, younger generation rising up, and they seem to be turning towards some radicalization, or at least that's the fear of the pastors, you know, that, oh my, you know, we got these folks in our church and they're just anti-Semites and they've got these other issues and they're just trying to overthrow everything. Well, those can be bad, and we ought to never call sinful that which is righteous or righteous that which is sinful. We ought to be very clear, Bible's clear on right and wrong, but we need to make sure we're speaking from the Scripture, not just speaking from our cultural context and cultural sensitivities on those things. But I believe that if we strip it down further, there is a hunger within some of these younger men that have been lied to, been mistreated. They look at their culture. They look at the things that they have been told and been steered into believing or doing or saying. They're saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Yeah. We want to know the truth. Well, brothers, we have the truth. Mm-hmm. God's given us his word. So what do we do? In one sense, you don't do anything different than what you're always doing, what God's called you to do. You preach the gospel. You preach the law. You pray. You seek to make disciples. You establish healthy churches. You do what Christ has called us to do, but you do it with an awareness that these questioners over here, they're not a threat. Mm-hmm. They're not a threat to that. You stay clear on the Scripture. They're an opportunity, and they need to be helped. They need to be shepherded. Many of these young guys, they don't have dads, and they just need pastors and men, strong men in the church, to come alongside them and to help them and to challenge them to think rightly about the Scripture, because the very stirrings in their souls that have left them unsatisfied with what the culture has been ramming down their throats for all their lives, many of them, that lack of satisfaction can only be adequately addressed in what God has revealed to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of perhaps older pastors, when they, in a lot of ways, their political thought is a result of the post-war consensus, post-war liberalism. And a lot of those elements of post-war liberalism, they think are non-negotiable aspects of the Christian faith.
Right.
And so people from my generation and younger are questioning some of the post-war consensus, and I think rightly so. And some of the older leaders in Christianity are seeing that, and they're saying, no, no, that's incompatible with Christianity. You can't believe that and still be a conservative Christian. And the guys my age are looking at that and saying, well, I don't want to be a conservative Christian because clearly that's wrong. I think what older pastors need to do, first they need to read R.R. Reno's book, The Return of the Strong Gods. They need to understand, okay, I have been discipled, and some of what I think is non-negotiable Christianity is maybe not necessarily non-negotiable Christianity, but it's just post-war liberalism.
Right.
And we could do to shed some of that old way of thinking ourselves. Yeah. And let younger men know, like, there is a place for you here.
Absolutely.
Like, do not write off the American conservative evangelical church as if it's not a place for you. Yeah, there's going to be need to be some shaping. You're going to need to get rid of some anti-Semitism and things mm-hmm. like that. That is incompatible with Christianity. But even so, like, there is a home for those young men here.
Yeah. And they need to be shepherded. Mm-hmm. They need to be shepherded. And I agree with you completely, and I'm one of the old guys you're talking about. You know, I grew up in that, and it's been a real challenge for me to try to get my mind around what's been happening over the last 30, 40 years. And I'm rereading, and I'm reading some new stuff, and I'm trying to listen more carefully. And I think, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but I've said it multiple times publicly and privately, that I'm trying to remediate, mm-hmm. you know, my thinking on these very issues in the light of the gospel. I'm not giving up the gospel. I'm not giving up the Bible. Mm-hmm. I've got some friends who think maybe, you know, I've been hijacked mm-hmm. away from the Bible into cultural warriorism or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand the scriptures and apply them to the day we live in, not to the day we might have wished we lived in or used to live in.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge. And I'm going to die remediating. Mm-hmm. I'll never catch up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a fact, and it's kind of a sober
fact.
Because
the time keeps moving forward.
Time keeps moving forward. You know, I'm not getting any younger and or faster or more energetic. But my hope is that your generation and the generations following you, that you guys will stand on more solid ground from the outset for a longer period of time that will help you to mm-hmm. go further and deeper than what I've been able to do through my own negligence and failure and not recognizing things earlier than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, amen to what you're saying. And I love how God has shaped us as founders and helped us, because we hadn't done anything perfectly, but we've avoided these two big ditches over here, you know, of just rah-rah, MAGA, everything's glorious now, you know, and saying over here, oh, no, 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 good night. You can't be talking about that. It's just preach the gospel. It's only mm-hmm. the gospel. If you say Jesus, then, you know, that's good. Don't talk about these issues and don't try to address cultural, political issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in the stream
mm-hmm.
and God's giving us some opportunities, and some, if they come to fruition in the next few months, God willing, we'll announce them, that I think can be even more significant mm-hmm. than what we've done thus far. And it's an opportune moment. And for whatever reason, God has given us favor and given us opportunity to try to help our own church here in Cape Coral and other churches around the world to mm-hmm. think and to engage in ways that will bring glory and honor to Christ, applying His word to every aspect of life.
Are you a Christian struggling to find companies that align with your values and beliefs? Squirrely Joe's has you covered for all of your coffee needs. All of their coffee is hand-selected and roasted fresh every day by a family of fellow believers. Try them out and you'll savor exceptional coffee while knowing that your investment supports a company committed to following God's teachings and upholding truth and righteousness, ensuring your hard-earned money contributes to the growth of God's kingdom. Stop giving your hard-earned dollars to pagans who support evil. We have a fantastic offer for our listeners. The first bag of coffee is free. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Head over to squirrelyjoes.com/founders to claim your free bag of coffee today.
It's November 6th, 2024, And I have been talking to pastors and friends and church members this morning, thanking God with them for his mercies that were displayed in the national and state elections last night. We thank the Lord here in Florida that we were able to see the attempt to make an amendment to our Constitution to legalize abortion up to the moment of birth. We saw that Amendment 4 proposal pushed back. It did not pass, and we praise God for that. However, over half of the people who voted, voted for it. And that's a grievous reality that we have to confront and recognize that though we have much to be grateful for in our nation and in our state, we have no reason to be complacent. This is time for us to build, time for us to fight, time for us to continue to proclaim God's law and God's gospel throughout the land, which is what we have been about here at Founders Ministries for over 40 years. It's why we have scheduled the conference that we have coming up January 23rd through 25 of 2025. Here in Southwest Florida, where we're going to be focused on the theme, Revive Us, O Lord. That's going to be the cry of our hearts as we look at revival and consider what God's done in the past. He has changed nations. He has changed societies in an instant, and he can do it again. When he came down in power with the Spirit at Pentecost, he demonstrated the kind of God he is and the grace and mercy he has for sinners. And he has sent revival fires time and time again throughout history, among his people and to different places in the world. And we're going to be pleading with him to do it again. So I encourage you, if you've not considered it, consider it and make plans to join us January 23rd through 25th, 2025, here in Southwest Florida for our National Founders Conference on Revival.
So let's think about you know, what happened Tuesday night. You know, obviously the big thing, Trump won the Electoral College, but then Trump went on to win the popular vote as well, which I don't know what the numbers are. Last I looked, it was like by 5 million votes, which is not a small margin. Just an absolute blowout. The Republicans have retained the Senate. I think at this point it's 53 Senate seats. Mm-hmm. Looks like they're likely to retain the House as well. Yeah. I mean, that's a massive mandate from the populace given to the conservative party. And the Republican Party is going to actually do conservative things. I mean, Trump has already come out talking about, well, maybe not so much conservative things, just like natural things.
Common sense.
Like, let's not, you know, mutilate children anymore.
Yeah. Hey, that's an idea.
Let's not pay to educate our military and transgenderism anymore. You know? Yeah. I'm mostly excited for the 250th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be great.
Can you imagine?
Might be going to Iowa. there's so many things like that. But the Democrat Party is just in shambles at this point. It's interesting to me. I mean, the two things that they ran on nationally, especially Harris's campaign, Trump is Orange Hitler without the mustache, and abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be able to kill your babies. Your daughters need to be able to kill your grandbabies. Like that your right to murder children is being taken from you. And it wasn't enough.
That's right.
It did not get them across the finish line. It may have given them a little bit of gas, but I'm not happy about where our culture is. I'm not happy where the state of Florida is. But again, they were stopped. Mm-hmm. They were stopped. And I think that this is the turning point, even on the abortion issue. The biggest black eye of the night, the worst part of the night is that of, you know, 10 states where there were abortion initiatives on the ballot, seven of them went through. Only South Dakota, Nebraska, and Florida did not put those abortion initiatives in the Constitution. So that's, you know, that's bad. And I lament that. I wish that were not the case. But in Florida, they were stopped. And mm-hmm. that is a huge deal.
Yeah, because they wanted to take down Florida.
Mm-hmm. That was the prize.
If they took down Florida, then it would make these others much easier to conquer. And when you look at the way those states voted, what's going to change? How can we change that? Human hearts have got to be changed. Mm-hmm. How do we get the 57% down to zero in Florida? Mm-hmm. Human hearts have to be changed. Mm-hmm. Who can change a human heart? Only Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, who is representative of Jesus Christ? The church. We have what God has provided for this world to be reconciled to him, to correct these horrific moral issues that have become commonplace in our land.
And it's going to take not just speaking on the issue of abortion. We need to do that. We need to get better at that. We need to become more convincing. I mean, the arguments are there. Obviously, the pro-abortion arguments are horrendous. But we also need to speak on the issue of marriage. What is marriage? What is the purpose of marriage? What is a man? What is a woman? What's the danger of adultery and fornication? What's the harm of pornography? All of these things are all connected.
That's right. Absolutely.
And we're not going to see the abortion issue fixed if all these other issues are out there and everyone's just fine with them. Mm-hmm. The church has to be clear and persuasive and powerful in its voice on those issues as well. But what I'm encouraged by is that I think, and hopefully the Democrats have learned and they've realized that in this election, abortion is not the issue that's going to win elections for them. It will not win. It's not enough for them to win elections. And as a result, I think that they'll not pour so much money, so much time, so much effort into the issue of abortion.
Yeah. And Graham, your point that all these things are connected, feminism is massive in this. And you know, we did that podcast with Carrie Gress on her book, The End of Woman. I commend that to all.
Read
the book, listen to that podcast. But feminism has affected us in ways that we're not even thinking of. And it has marshaled forward all of these horrific agendas in the name of love, caring for women, equality, all the things that sound great, but underneath are really deadly. And they carry with them this deadly virus that once you get it, it affects everything. And we see it, you know, in churches. Evangelical churches have been affected by feminism. There's just absolutely no doubt. And I'm not talking about just women elders. I mean, that's an obvious one, but just the mentality about marriage, the mentality about what we should aspire for with our boys and girls as they grow up, and how we should think about our place in the world. If it's not going to be enough just to say abortion is bad, we're going to have to go to the root of the matter and try to help people to start thinking more biblically about basic fundamental realities of how God made the world, how he made men, how he made women, what his purposes for humanity actually are, and how those purposes can be fulfilled, and how the church plays a role in trying to educate people, trying to disciple people into that truth.
Yeah, feminism is just absolutely deadly. It results in misery in individuals and in society. And, you know, if you've not been accused of being a misogynist yet, you're probably a feminist. So you need to do better.
That's right.
You need to do better.
Yeah, that's right. And man, it again weighs on me heavily too, thinking about, okay, you know, our men, our boys, our grandsons, they're growing up in a world that's been completely feminized. And we've got to help our men to think about those things better and keep them from reacting in ways where they just get so fed up with the attempts to feminize them that they become true misogynists, you know, because that's a danger. We see it. Again, what's the antidote? The antidote's the scripture. God's given us his word. And if we take his word seriously, then we're not going to fall into those categories of just being soft over here and being played and being led astray by sentiments of our culture that try to steer us. But neither are we going to react and just be, you know, a type of machismo that will mistreat women. No, we'll see our roles as men, that we're called to protect, we're called to provide, we're called to defend, and we're called to die for what God has set before us as right and good and true.
Well, I'm praising God for the victories that he's given us, that he has put Trump in office and all of the people that are going into power with him.
Amen.
There's so many good people going into power with him. And so many who, even though they may not be Christians, have good instincts and will govern justly. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the victories he's given us in the state of Florida and in other states in turning down abortion, those who have gone into the Senate as well. So I'm grateful for God's mercy. I really do take it as a sign of God's mercy to us, and we need to not leave it as if, like, all right, well, now let's just continue business as usual. No, the Lord has given us opportunities. We need to take those opportunities for his glory and just leave everything out on the field.
Amen. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. And I look at this as an even heavier weight of stewardship. I was in Canada recently talking to Canadian brothers, some of whom had spent time in jail. Others had been fined because they wanted to had the audacity to worship with their church when the government said, no, you can't gather to worship. And listening to those men talk about the hope that they got from American Christians, some American Christians, who stood with them and called attention and shined light mm-hmm. on the mistreatment, the persecution that they were experiencing, even when some of their own fellow believers were saying, hey, you know, you guys need to straighten up and fly right and, you know, quit meeting. You know, you're not being persecuted. You're just being obstinate. And when American Christians were standing with them, were getting those same kinds of things, it just reminded me, man, we have a weight of stewardship in what we do here and how we think about the word and try to spread the word and encourage others to think and spread that word. It has impact far beyond mm-hmm. our own local situation. So, man, to fellow pastors, brothers, great day that God's put us in, challenging, challenges everywhere, potholes everywhere, but we have the book. We have God's word. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be reticent. We can go forward according to the word, knowing that he is doing 1,000 things right now. And the fact that we're living with this prospect of an administration that is committed to many common sense principles that have long been jettisoned by the regime we've been under, it's an opportunity. And we need to steward it well. We can't squander it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sword and the Trowel. If this conversation has been helpful to you, please do like and share and subscribe on any of the platforms that you listen to your podcast or on YouTube. And we will see you next time.